You are now listening to the Masters Mehan podcast. Episode 14. The 13 Illuminati Bloodlines Continued. Part 2. This episode may be deemed inappropriate for some listeners. If you have been abused or are a minor, you should stop now. This episode builds on the previous ones. The family histories we have been illuminating and summarizing can be difficult to fully validate. Luciferians live in and work hard to create such that screams of the unique and fantastical. In short, they make up family conquests and rags-to-riches stories to hide the truth as well as to push their god, Lucifer's, agenda. There are too many examples of this to share. But when in doubt, remember the old adage, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
Now, this is where I was born. I was born in Kenya.
Unless we take the action necessary and we build in a greener and more sustainable and more inclusive way, then we will end up having more and more pandemics and disasters from ever-accelerating global warming and climate change.
Wise leaders always put the good of their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy, wreck our country.
Here in Israel, they're making this green passport where the population cannot get into theaters or malls or all sorts of things. They're creating a medical apartheid.
There would be an enormous economic collapse prior to the revealing. The stock market would destabilize. It would make the Great Depression look like Sunday school.
Let's continue with our exploration of the worldwide 13 desecrated bloodlines using the Springmeier genealogical classification by hurrying to our assignment in an adrenalized haze, or as the Luciferians trigger their minions. You're late for a very important date.
No time to say hello, goodbye, I'm late.
We really shouldn't be doing this. After all, we haven't been invited, and curiosity often leads to trouble.
Luciferians need you to believe 100% in rags to riches, so that they can keep you.
Follow the rainbow over the stream, follow a fellow who follows a dream.
Follow the yellow brick road.
So we can all keep our date with.
We're up to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. We hear he is a wiz of a wiz, if ever a wiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a wiz there was.
The Wizard of Oz is one
because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Now, this is not to say that hard work doesn't pay off. It can, and really used to, particularly before Karl Marx's progressive income tax. Karl Marx was a Rothschild. The goal there was to always keep you in enough debt that you would always have to stay on the road. If you are progressively punished for leaving the road, you will always stay poor enough to keep being distracted and to keep obeying until you are too old and need to retire. Busy, distracted people don't have time to do anything but continue to make their Illuminati overlords and landlords rich.
I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye, I'm late.
Do you see how it works? Since our Father God's promise to humanity that a hero son would be born as one of us to save us, the occult, starting with Cain, have attempted to control and manipulate the bloodlines of humanity. The plan was to destroy any chance of the hero son being born as our lamb without spot. The entire Bible can be better understood when this is understood. After the successful birth of Jesus Christ, the need to safeguard bloodlines was ended. This began the church age, and the Lord's call to every nation and bloodline of man to come and partake in his universal blessing, regardless of status or race. Many Illuminati people escaped. But it was not until Nazi scientists started studying the miracle of the monarch butterfly that their minds really exploded in terms of DNA and its hereditary uses.
It's not easy being green.
From the monarch butterfly, the Nazis learned that it was possible to encode knowledge and traits into DNA. This could then be passed on to descendants as an integral part of their flesh. They were very eager to try this on humans. And since their leadership was Esau, the red dragon, they had a natural hatred for the children of Israel, their cousins. They were also very pleased to note that Jews, by genetics, have more twins than any other bloodline. Esau was Israel's twin, you remember. Twins are needed in human experiments because you instantly have a built-in control group. Thus began the horrors of swine pig Joseph Mengele under the Nazis. When Prescott Bush, father of George Herbert Walker Bush, helped bring Nazi scientists to the U.S., giving them different names.
It's not easy being green.
These experiments continued in what we today call Monarch programming and MK Ultra. The Monarch is code for the Monarch Butterfly, and the MK here is for Mind Control, with the control being German, in honor of the swine pig Führer, who was also a Rothschild. Let's explore more bloodlines in part two. The Collins bloodline. The Collins bloodline made their money primarily through insurance companies and international money exchanging. It is said that they were the first Illuminati bloodline to come to America, so their blood is held in very high esteem. It is said that in 1955, the grandmother of the High 13 was Mother Collins. They believed that she held more occult DNA than any other woman of the powerful 13. Those in the know said, the grandmother Collins dresses in black and sits upon an ebony and gold, moon-shaped throne. With a pedal at her foot, she can automatically rotate the throne so she can address the Grand Council of Wizards behind her without rising. Then she can rotate again to her lessers, groveling in front of her. The moon throne is, of course, a symbol of Zion, whom the ancients saw as the moon. The eyewitness continued saying that Grandmother Collins wore a great deal of jewelry. The men in attendance each placed a small gold brick at her feet as an offering. Directly behind her, on either side, stood two young Collins boys. It is said that one of these was John Todd Collins. These boys passed out timetables for various plans, and the meeting was all about furthering the one-world Zionist government mockery and what they had accomplished to date, as well as things that had gone wrong and how they might correct these mistakes next time. Seven children, dressed in white, were brought from generational satanic families and laid prostrate before Grandmother Collins, worshiping her. She had a scepter with a snake's head that had a battery inside and was basically a taser. This way she could bite those she touched with it, and it was considered magic. Once all seven children were approved by her, seven other children, less worthy, were brought in, and each one was sacrificed in front of the other seven, one for one. Then, the seven remaining children had to write their names into the coven book with a quill using their atoning child's blood for the ink. This was a blood oath.
Doesn't matter that I signed a blood oath. Doesn't matter anymore. The Illuminati's real. I'm a member.
The spared children then swore an oath to the mother, and she pressed her foot pedal and rotated to face the 13 high wizards. She declared, "This is tomorrow's chosen generation, the chosen few." The eyewitness then said that the black John the Anti-Baptist entered to announce the coming of the Antichrist to the world. John Todd Collins, the boy who was reported there behind the mother, later had the courage to escape. He did this, as all who have successfully escaped do, by calling out to Jesus Christ for help. We'll let John speak for himself.
I come from a family that, where I grew up having my own heroes. My number one hero was my great-great-great, somewhere way back there, grandfather, named Francis Collins. Francis Collins owned the first ship that Puritans landed in here. It just so happened that 50% of the people on board were also witchcraft people fleeing from Scotland. And they were called the Collinses. They were all his family, and that's how all witchcraft came to the United States. So when I grew up, I was being trained how great my family was, that it was the second most important family in the Illuminati and the occult world, and that someday I'd be very important and so on. So I had my own heroes. If you wondered why that fits with Todd's, the Collins family changed their name about 100 years ago to Todd to cover up some of the things that they had done. But I'm sure some of you will remember the show Dark Shadows. That was the show that paid for me to come to Hollywood to bring the diaries. Many of the scripts were taken from actual incidences in the diaries. And, for instance, Barnabas Collins was based upon a man named Francis Williams Collins. When I was growing up in the occult world, we were always taught that we had been somebody else before. It wasn't good enough that we were the person we were now. We always had to be a dozen people that we were before. We had to deal with this life and all the ones we were supposed to have had before and all the ones we were going to have in the future. And I was supposed to be in Francis Williams Collins. So I said that's who they based Barnabas on, so I wasn't exactly the nicest guy in the world. I grew up this way. When I was 13, I was taken into what is called the outer court to be trained as a priest in witchcraft. When I was 18, I was initiated a high priest. That would have made me the pastor. At the same time, I became draft exempt. I did not have to go into service, but a bunch of us smart aleck young wizards and witches went into the army because we felt the army really needed witchcraft. It just couldn't get along without us. My time was almost up, so I was discharged, and the same day I re-enlisted. I asked for Vietnam, and they said because of my wounds that hadn't totally healed yet, I couldn't go to Vietnam yet, so I got Germany. Now, I had re-enlisted for 6 years, and until the time of my re-enlistment, I always thought that witchcraft was just witchcraft. There was nothing more to witchcraft than just casting spells, and that we were smarter than the Christians and other religions because we really knew who the gods were, and we were born with special powers because our ancestors had passed them down to us, and all the little stories they like to tell us. You know, many of you were raised as Christians, and I guess that's why I can't understand why some of the Christian teenagers are the way they are today. If they were raised in this glorious gospel, why they're so rebellious. I would have given anything to have been raised this way. But when you were learning the 23rd Psalm, I was learning the witch's chant. When you were reading about Moses opening the Red Sea, I was reading J.R.R. Tolkien. This is the way I grew up, and this is all I believed in, was just that there were mighty gods and we were special people. We were their priests and priestesses until I reenlisted. I went to Germany, spent a month home, went to Germany, spent another month, 2 months out of a 6-year enlistment. One night while taking drugs and drinking, I shot and killed an officer in downtown Stuttgart. Now, if there's one thing that the army does not like, it does not like its sergeants killing its officers. And as the court-martial proceeded on, and things began to look like I was going to spend the rest of my life in Leavenworth if I was lucky, one of the men that was placed in the cell with me had been scheduled to get out that particular day, so I kind of talked him in by bribing him a little that if he made a long-distance phone call for me and told certain relatives of mine that I was in trouble, he'd receive some money for it, and I'd be a lot happier. So he called Collect to Los Angeles and talked to my foster mother, explained what the situation was. And I was sitting back waiting for her to get all these big witches together to cast spells on the judges and make all the officers that were trying me think I was a real nice guy and that it was self-defense and everything was going to be fine. They just let me off. Now, that's all that I had ever been taught that witches could do. But 3 days later, my cell door opened there in solitary. I stepped out in the light for the first time in 32 days. I heard some very strange words. You are honorably discharged from the United States Army. And the man that was saying them was a senator by the name of William Saxby. He had a congressman with him named Wiley and about three or four generals. And they were handing me an honorable discharge. And on the discharge papers, it didn't say I was bad, didn't say that I had been in jail, didn't say anything. It gave me all my time and rank, security clearances that I had in my possession, and didn't explain why I still had over 5 years to go in the United States Army. It just discharged me honorably. So I took it and didn't want to argue with them and left and went back to the States and arrived at my home in Columbus, Ohio. I asked my real mother, I have two mothers, foster mother and a real mother, I said, what type of spell is so good that it makes senators and generals do what you want? And it's a really good spell. I'd like to learn it. She just looked at me and said, you just don't understand, do you? She said, we didn't cast a spell on them. They're with us. I said, oh, far out. Senators that are witches. She says, no, they just belong to us. And I didn't understand what she's saying. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do now? You know, I'd like to take my old coven back over and so on. So she handed me an envelope that had been waiting there. She'd explained that there was one there and one in Los Angeles. They didn't quite know where I was going to show up. I opened the envelope. Very intriguing thing. $2,000 in $100 bills. A lot of money. Also was a one-way plane ticket to New York City. I said, well, what's this for? She said, well, you make a reservation, you get on the next plane, you get out of here and you get to New York City and they'll meet you at the airport. I said, well, who are they? And where did this money come from? She says, you get there, and they'll tell you, and you'll know who's supposed to meet you when they get there. Now, witches are very curious people, and this was extremely intriguing. So I got on the plane, and I flew to New York, and I got off the plane. Sure enough, no problem with recognizing who met me. I'd read his books for years. In fact, he's the man who first created Christian witchcraft. His name was Dr. Raymond Buckland, head of the anthropology department, Columbia University. At that time, he isn't now. Graduate of Oxford University, Rhodes Scholar, handpicked by the Rothschilds to lead the Illuminati for him. So I arrived, and he took me to his house, and next few months he carefully rearranged all my ideas for me. He told me that all the things that I had learned about witchcraft were just stories that we told the lower people. And where I thought there was only three levels and I was as high and as powerful as a witch could go, he assured me there were three more. I guess I should have backed off then, figured if I was lied to the first time, maybe I'd be lied to the second time. But as I said, witches have an incurable curiosity. They've got to find out everything. So I let him train me, and he explained to me that since I was a male Collins, I was in the Collins family, that I had a position to take. And that there was a board of directors called the Grand Druid Council, which contained 13 of the most powerful witches in the world. And that my place was on that council. And I said, oh, you know, great. When do I take it? And he said, well, somebody just died. I kind of always wondered if he died or they shot him or something. You never can tell in the Illuminati. But he sent me to Los Angeles. I studied for 6 more months with my foster mother, holding kind of a temporary rank on this council, and then taking up to Colorado Springs and initiated. And I do believe that when I testified here the last time, I explained who the person was that handed me the ceremonial knife for that ceremony, another senator named George McGovern.
Being a famous Collins, John was later kidnapped, and many attempts to restring his Pinocchio programming were tried.
There are no strings on me.
When they failed to turn his mind back into a puppet, he was murdered and at last found peace. He held on, despite his torture, because he finally understood what the Lord meant when he said, ultimately all they can do is take your life, and then they can take no more. Many have escaped when their spirit mind cried out to Jesus. The occult knows this, and so they work hard to attack all forms of Christianity and to attach to their own whenever these go to church for a break. The elites are caught in a conundrum, because sometimes their victims need an escape to maintain their sanity, but if they discover that it really can be an escape, they might not come back. We'll have more on this. Some of the Todd family and some of the Bush family and some of the Crowley family are subsets of the Collins bloodline. Why would an ancient famous occult family go from Collins to Todd? Todd is a Middle English word from Northern England that means a fox. In British witchcraft, a fox is equal to the number 666, or an antichrist. So, it fits perfectly. If you can no longer be a Collins, you can always be an antichrist. We'll have more on this. The Van Dien bloodline. The Van Diens came to America with the Dutch West India Company to live on Manhattan Island. They remained when the British conquered New Amsterdam and renamed it New York. The Dutch had been experimenting with a Luciferian principle, the corporation. Lucifer loves corporations, since it's analogous to his demonic concept of serial immortality. New Amsterdam and New York were very lenient to witches, drugs, and the occult. It was not long before those witches living under Puritanism in Massachusetts found safe haven on Manhattan Island. It appears that the occult Van Diens are primarily centered in intelligence operations for governments, so they can easily share vast amounts of information with the rest of the 13. They are also active in Planned Parenthood.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog too.
It is also understood that they are the leaders of the Great White Brotherhood and the Societies of Lucifer, who joined the Illuminati to consolidate the Dutch, Flemish, and Belgium blood. What most Americans today do not understand is that after the American Civil War, the United States was forced to create a corporation in order to take a loan from the Bank of England. Eventually, all Americans wanting to use American-based currency from this loan were required to become an employee of this corporation. It is a little more complicated than that, but not really. Your Social Security number is, in effect, your employee number within this corporation today. This is all based originally in the Luciferian concepts of corporations as being a separate entity that in effect functions as Legion does when possessing a single human body. Some of the Hearst family bloodlines are Van Diens. We'll have more on this. The DuPont bloodline. The DuPonts are the culmination of the French bloodlines into the Illuminated 13. Being worth billions, they have used their wealth to create their own family mythos. Another rags-to-riches lie. A perfect example is the life and death of Alfred Victor DuPont. On May the 16th, 1893, the news reported that Alfred, known to friends as Fred, died. The family printed the story that they wanted known, including lots of praise for Fred's many acts of philanthropy, which he did. Remember the occult law of karma. If not for the truthful story as reported in the Cincinnati Inquirer, we might have never known the truth. What really happened is this. Fred and his nephew Coleman loved women. They spent many hours in Maggie Payne's very expensive whorehouse. While Fred was very generous with public institutions that could praise him publicly, he didn't have a single dime for any bastard children, nor his mistresses. So one of his destitute impregnated prostitutes shot him in the chest. His nephew took his body to one of their estates and paid a coroner to write on the death certificate that he had died of a stroke. Many years later, other editors-in-chief of American newspapers admitted that they knew the truth, but wanting to protect the DuPonts, printed the story that they requested they print. The DuPonts helped start the new Christian movement that later merged with communism's One World Zionist movement. One of the goal dates for the New World Order was set at 2000 AD, the sacrifice of which was to be two huge phallic columns symbolic of Solomon's at the temple. Many say that this was realized with the fall of the Twin Towers in New York. They believe that the fall would bring forth Apollyon. More on that later. They listed, back in the 1800s, that in order to accomplish this, before the year 2000, they needed to make the Earth smaller by digging two canals, the Suez and the Panama, build a high dam on the Nile to revive Egypt and her eminence, that some form of technological transformation was needed to bring sickness and a new androgynous race of humans to the Earth.
I don't like you either.
And that all of these would be pushed forward by violence in the form of national revolutions. Or world wars. The DuPonts also pushed forward Plato's occult plans and helped the world re-embrace old pagan ideas to compete with and otherwise replace what they saw as Roman-style Christianity. These helped morph Christmas, Easter, Halloween, and even St. Patrick's Day and Valentine's Day to the silly mess we play with today.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity happy Easter Day.
These ideas resonated with young Americans such as Thomas Jefferson, who were eager to be done with the filth of self-righteous kings who claimed to gain their thrones from God. One must remember that the Illuminati will use anyone that they can to further their agendas and will only give them as much information as they believe they can handle to get the job done. There is no doubt that powerful Illuminates saw the American Revolution as useful to their higher goal of creating a one-world Zion communist government with themselves at the head. They were deeply disappointed when George Washington refused to be their king puppet.
There are no strings on me.
After the British crown had been removed from the colonies. They were thrilled when Washington realized that in order to protect the American independence, we would have to make a pact with their Bank of England, the same that controls the Federal Reserve ultimately today. Washington did it to buy us time. When he retired, he begged the American people to keep out of foreign entanglements. He meant the Illuminati, which back then was also called Jacobinism. Using real Luciferian magic, let's warp speed back in time and hear George tell us himself. But first, we will have to hypnotize and drug you. Let's just use one of the thousands of pre-programming that is used on your children via children's television programming. You know the stuff they are watching while you're busy keeping up with the latest drafts on the NFL? We don't want your fantasy team to suffer, and you might miss some new way to puree a cucumber that Martha Stewart wants to show you. Either way, here's what your kids are being shown while you're busy.
The less you resist, the faster the programming will be. Just try not to fight it.
Torture me all you want. Not turning evil.
Oh, we're not going to torture you, Tom. It's too messy. We're just going to scramble your feeble mind till you become our obedient puppet.
Here we go. You guys think you can brainwash me? You guys. Oh, great.
Tommy, can you hear me?
It is now October 24th, 1798, and we are in Mount Vernon, Virginia, in the presence of George Washington, where he said, and he really did say,
"It was not my intention
to doubt that the doctrine of the Illuminati and the principles of Jacobism had not spread in the United States. On the contrary, no one is more satisfied of this fact than I am.
Are you starting to understand how it works and how they program us? They were tasked with infiltrating all Masonic lodges, indoctrinating them into the Illuminati. This is the warning that George Washington was trying to give to his Masonic brethren in the United States. Sadly, Alexander Hamilton, whose role in the conspiracy to return America to Illuminati British control is now known, was DuPont's lawyer in the U.S. He was the one to push debt on the American people as a means of...
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Follow the yellow brick road, follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road,
follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road,
follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road,
follow the yellow brick road.
Today, far too many are taught to leverage debt to build the American dream. It does work, but what they don't understand is that the ultimate goal is to use legal debt to legally seize all American assets. This is the ultimate plan of causing the United States to run up outrageous debt to the Federal Reserve so as to bankrupt the country. We have put this off by using our national parks as collateral that can be legally seized if we default, which of course is the plan. When we do default, the occult plans to place Prince Harryless Butt Windsor as Duke of America, which is why he has been sent among us to be seen as one of us who is disliked by the crown. Don't you believe it?
Rule Britannia, Britannia rule the waves. Britons never, never, never shall be slaves.
More on this, we promise. Some Ball bloodlines and Gardner bloodlines are subsets of the DuPont bloodline. The Onassis bloodline. Aristotle Socrates Onassis was an Illuminati king and shipping tycoon. It is said that he went from being totally broke at age 21 to being a multimillionaire at age 23, and not long after, one of the richest men in the entire world. There we go again, yeah sure. More mythos designed to teach children that if they work hard and follow the yellow brick road, they too will cha-ching from rags to riches.
What's this world coming to? You work all your life to get money, and people want you to give it away.
Aristotle was a very intelligent, ruthless, hard man. He was a true man of the world. He spoke at least 5 languages with enough fluency to manage his own business affairs. When he wanted to expand his shipping business by taking over Howard Hughes' California empire, he offered Hughes a fortune to buy him out. Howard refused. Howard was a bisexual who had proclivity for young boys. Hollywood insiders say that he and Walt Disney occasionally shared young actors.
Oh boy!
When Onassis ordered Hughes to sell him several patents, and Howard refused, Onassis had him murdered and used one of Howard's 2 doubles to play Hughes as an eccentric living as a recluse in the Desert Inn in Las Vegas. Insiders in the know hinted at this, as well as other Illuminati secrets, in the James Bond movie.
Diamonds are forever, forever, forever. Diamonds are forever, 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 forever.
One of the highest honors in Satanism is the successful fulfillment of the Judas Clause.
This is your hour, Judas.
Oh, Master.
You betray your master with a kiss.
The Judas Clause is the successful betrayal of a friend particularly when one is able to benefit from that friend's death. The open knowledge of this clause in the ranks of the cults of Lucifer means that only the foolish trust their own comrades implicitly. This creates fear in the general membership, and as previously explained, fear gives demons power. We mention this here because the occult says that the Onassis bloodline played a hand with the Collins bloodline in killing JFK so as to betray and gain the power of the Kennedy bloodline into their own. It is said in the occult that after JFK's murder, his brain was taken by the Collins clan and made into a pharaonic soup for young Daddy Bush and Onassis to eat.
Chilled a monkey brain.
If you doubt it, do an internet search for George Herbert Walker Bush speaking at Gerald Ford's funeral and snickering for some odd reason when he starts to talk about the murder of JFK. Here is the audio of it, but you really need to see his face to understand the full message here. It's a joke to him.
After a deluded gunman assassinated President Kennedy, our nation turned to Gerald Ford and a select handful of others to make sense of that madness. And the conspiracy theorists can say what they will, but the Warren Commission report will always have the final, definitive say on this tragic matter.
The occult believes that one can gain tremendous power by eating the brain of a king. It is true that Daddy Bush became president in his own right. And, of course, Onassis did get JFK's widow. Who can say? It is also a fact that JFK's brain went missing, to the great surprise of his family, who later admitted that they had not requested it as a keepsake. We will explore more in Part 3.
Still lost, you know.
I simply must get out. Oh,
but you are outside.
What?
See for yourself.
Why, that's me. I'm asleep. Please wake up, Alice.
Alice. Alice. Alice. Alice.
Alice. Oh, for goodness sake. Alice, I... Oh, well. Come along. It's time for tea.
Are you beginning to see how these 13 have used the concept of the American dream to try and change us from being a nation built on Christian principles to a nation obsessed with the concepts of consumerism? So much of the Disney morals teach this in one way or another.
There must be more than this provincial life.
Well, there can be if you are willing to imagine a dragon and sell your soul to it. More to come. Fair use claim. We are claiming fair use for the items in this podcast in which we do not own the copyright. United States law allows us to use items copyrighted by others in this podcast without their permission in the manner that we have under fair use. American courts have ruled that using another's copyrighted items in this manner is crucial when commenting and illustrating subject matter. Otherwise, news and commentary in the public discourse would be hindered, which is a violation of our constitutional rights, including our freedom of speech and freedom of the press, etc. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Master's Mahan will return.